Today on Seculo, Kamala Harris gambles with a Fox News interview and loses.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, everyone. This is Will Haynes. Jordan Seculo is joining me remotely. We will get to him in just a second. But we have a lot to talk about today on the broadcast. We have a major Fox News interview that Kamala Harris conducted last night with interviewer Bret Baier. This was with just 20 days before the election, an interesting time. It shows a lot of things about where maybe the campaign thinks they are at this moment. And we will break that down with Jordan, kind of the politics of it, the reason why Kamala Harris would feel compelled to do this interview with just 20 days to go at the time of recording and airing last night. But we've also got some really big news out of Israel that we will get to as well. And that is that the new Hamas leader, you'll remember that Israel assassinated the previous Hamas leader in Tehran when he was there for the inauguration of Iran's new president. But the former military commander of Hamas, now the head of the political bureau of Hamas, which is the head of all Hamas, appears was eliminated by Israeli forces, by the IDF, today in Gaza. This would be another huge victory for Israel at a time where they are feeling pressure from the world. They're also feeling pressure from what should be their closest ally, the United States, as we head up to this election. We know that Israel is looking at this as a time they cannot wait. They have been going across the Middle East, taking out Iranian proxy leaders left and right. This is another victory for the Jewish state of Israel, and we'll break that down as well. But we also want to hear from you today. Did you watch the Kamala Harris interview on Fox last night? What were your takeaways? How do you think Bret Baier did in this interview? How do you think Kamala Harris did? And do you think this impacts the election, which is now just 19 days away? Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Let us know your thoughts on that. You'll be speaking with me and Jordan about this issue as we break it all down for you. And once again, if you're just joining us, we are going to be discussing the Kamala Harris interview with Bret Baier last night, why she felt motivated to take on, finally, an adversarial interview. She'd been doing a lot more media, but this is the first time that she has really gone on an adversarial program to her. Everything else has been friendly, whether it be podcasts, whether it be CNN. You go down the line, she has been welcomed by a friendly audience that didn't give a lot of pushback. But now we see that she finally decided to go to Fox News. Why, 20 days before the election, did her campaign feel this was a necessary step? And we have some interesting insight that I think that you're going to want to hear when we get back from this break with Jordan. And I think that I'd like to hear why you think that she decided to do this with just 20 days left to the election on November 5th. Call us at 1-800-684-3110 to be on air. We'll take your calls throughout this program today. But I also want to let you know we are just 19 days away from the election, and the left is aggressively fighting against election integrity. If you get our emails, which I encourage you all to do, go to aclj.org to sign up. You'll be getting one about this today, but it's a new step that the ACLJ is doing to defend election integrity in this critical season. The Biden-Harris DOJ just filed a major lawsuit which would allow illegal immigrants to vote in the state of Virginia. They are trying to ban a state from removing non-citizens from their voter rolls. They're on the voter rolls. Virginia's just trying to take them off. And the DOJ doesn't want that to happen. We are preparing to file a vital amicus brief in federal court to stop this dangerous assault on democracy. We could be in court as soon as today. Become an ACLJ champion at aclj.org today.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. This is Jordan Seculo. As you're noticing, likely, I am not in the studio. We had a little technical difficulty right before, but Will Haynes is in the studio for us. I am on the road speaking out on why it's so important to get out the vote and make sure, if you've got early voting in your state, to make sure you're taking advantage of that, that your friends are taking advantage of that. It's being tracked right now by the media. So we'll be on the road speaking to voters, getting them fired up, and also letting them know that if they do face any voter integrity issues, the ACLJ will be there for them. And Will, I mean, we will get to that a little later in the broadcast about one of the first cases we'll be filing in, but people can always contact us at aclj.org/help. That is the place to go if you think there is something going on. It has to directly affect you. So where you tried to vote, or are you a poll worker that wasn't allowed to do the right thing or isn't sure what to do, contact us at aclj.org/help. But Will, I want to go to you right away, because I think your analysis, we talked about it a lot right when I got to West Virginia. Actually, we made it in time to watch most of that interview that was pre-recorded a couple hours before it aired with Bret Baier and Vice President Harris. And we were all kind of sitting there with our jaws dropped, like, why did her campaign think this was a move that would help her? And all of us came to that same conclusion, which is the polls they see must be much worse than any of the national or state polls that we're seeing outside of the campaign.
That's right, Jordan. And kind of the analysis that we look at it as is that, one, her campaign must be to some degree a little freaking out that there is bad poll numbers internally and that she needed to do something here. Just the podcast interviews, all of the things she's been doing aren't enough. She had to do something to try to spruce up her campaign, get a little bit of energy, because the momentum has completely stalled out. And so what do? We take an adversarial interview, we go on Fox News, and we try to reach a segment of the voting base that may be traditionally conservative, traditionally Republican, leans to vote that way by party, but isn't necessarily MAGA or the Trump diehard that you see as the supporter base. So let's go on Fox. Let's take it with Bret Baier. He's a fair journalist. She even made a point to say that during it, that, you know, you're a serious journalist. And let's try to win over that base. But what I'm concerned about And we'll play this bite because I think it exemplifies where she had no strategy once she got to the interview. And I think that's problematic if you're running to be the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, the commander in chief. If you go into this with a goal but no strategy to get there, then you're going to have a disaster on your hands. And we've seen that, having a goal with no strategy, throughout the Biden administration. But let's take a listen to Bite 12, where I think it shows that she had no strategy to reach that voter by differentiating herself from Joe Biden. Instead, it was all about Trump. Let's go ahead and play Bite 12.
Your campaign slogan is a new way forward, and it's time to turn the page. You've been vice president for 3.5 years. So what are you turning the page from?
Well, first of all, turning the page from the last decade in which we have been burdened with the kind of rhetoric coming from Donald Trump that has been designed and implemented to divide our country and have Americans literally point fingers at each other. Rhetoric and an approach to leadership that suggests that the strength of a leader is based on who you beat down instead of what we all know. The strength of leadership is based on who you lift up. The strength of an American president, which is one who understands that the vast majority of us have more in common than what separates us.
Madam Vice President, more than 70% of people.
That is about turning the page on rhetoric that people are frankly exhausted of, Brett.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on. Madam
Vice President.
You and I both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
So Jordan, in this, she could have had a clear strategy to differentiate herself from Joe Biden and the administration very easily without even being nasty towards her current boss. But instead, she tried to make it about Donald Trump. And I don't think that her target voter block that she was hopefully trying to reach with this cares at all about what she had to say there.
No, I don't think so either. I think that if you're trying to reach a Fox News audience, and within that audience, really a specific block. So not the MAGA voter who's watching to see, you know, what do we need to do? Does she use the same word salad? Is it just as bad as all the other interviews? But you're trying to reach a Fox News voter who is unsure about Donald Trump and is saying, okay, well, if Harris is willing to come to Fox News and do this interview with Bret Baier, maybe I will at least give it a listen, and that might then change some minds, or at least tone down the dissent from Harris. Maybe say, well, you know, it hasn't necessarily changed how I'm going to vote yet. I'm not sure 19 days out, but I could rethink this. Instead, it was the same kind of no answers to specific questions. I mean, the only time she really tries to distance herself from President Biden was when she said, you know, that it won't be the same. Just look at me. That's not what people are talking about, not identity politics. It's, you can't keep telling us you're going to turn a new page when you didn't raise your voice for now nearly 4 years. And obviously, you weren't. If you did believe that those were policies that needed to be changed in the last 4 years, no one in that White House, including President Biden, trusted you or thought you were someone who they should listen to and take advice from.
And Jordan, I think we should play that because you referenced the I'm not Joe Biden. And I think that is the key, is that if you want to reach those voters, they're not concerned about Donald Trump's policies. That the targeted voter that she was probably trying to reach, Fox News audience, but maybe not sold out MAGA rally going conservative. But instead of taking the time to say, look, Brett, you know, constitutionally, I'm the vice president. A lot of these things I didn't have the ability to do. You can keep saying I was in power, but I am a support role to the president. That's why I'll be different. A layup answer she could not utter. And I think to some degree, she's still concerned about her relationship with Joe Biden. But let's go ahead and play Bite 11, because Bret Baier gives her so much opportunity to extrapolate this, to really lay out why she will be different, and she just can't. Let's play Bite 11.
You said turn the page, Madam Vice President. You were asked on two different shows last week what, if anything, you would do differently than President Biden. Here's what you said.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
Under a Harris administration, what would the major changes be and what would stay the same?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm obviously not Joe Biden.
I know.
And so that would be one change in terms of. But also, I think it's important to say with, 28 days to go, I'm not Donald Trump.
So you're not Joe Biden, you're not Donald Trump, but nothing comes to mind that you would do differently?
Let me be very clear. My presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency. And like every new president that comes into office, I will bring my life experiences, my professional experiences, and fresh and new ideas. I represent a new generation of leadership.
So Jordan, right there, a very softball way to do it, gave her plenty of time to even think about it by playing two sound bites. So he's being gracious to the vice president by allowing that, and still just a very broad brush, generalistic answer.
Yes, which is all we've gotten from Harris. And I think this is the frustration of voters when you're getting 19 days out and you can't be more specific than what she did with Bret Baier. I mean, again, he gave her an opportunity to actually come out with a different explanation for what she meant in those interviews and what she means with turn the page and this is going to be something new. But I think what's happened, Will, to this campaign so far is what you said. The Republicans are on the ground. We're doing the work that you need to do to win elections. A lot of this now is getting people to vote in early voting and then getting people to make sure on election day that they get out and vote and they are excited. So messaging is very important. There's sometimes these surprises. But the second part is this, and we can talk about it more in the next segment of the broadcast. Her pick for vice president has done nothing but damage the Democrat Party, and the way he tried to portray us as weirdos has backfired. I don't like using that term about human beings and about fellow Americans, but that's what he did. And that's why at the ACLJ, we're fighting back. Because when they use names like that, you know what they're doing? They're targeting you. And we're going to talk to you about how they're targeting voters in Virginia and how the ACLJ is going to be involved in one of the first, I guess, the general election lawsuits of the general election season of 2024. So join us at aclj.org and donate today.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org. secularnation.org.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. This is Jordan Seculo. As you can see, traveling again, getting out again, talking to voters, talking to the American people here in West Virginia, an ACLJ alumni. Looks to be the next attorney general of the states. We've got some big announcements coming there after the election season, but also that, you know, it doesn't really matter where you live right now. I think just to take a minute, but if you are in a deeply red state or a deeply blue state, in either of those kind of states, it's important for you as a conservative to get out and vote. We know that there are efforts underway from the left preparing for, if Donald Trump wins, to try and illegitimize his presidency by saying, but, oh, he might have won the Electoral College. And, of course, that's the game that you're playing when you run for president. You look for, how do I put together the Electoral College votes I need, not the total number of voters. But there are also states that are looking at trying to subvert the Constitution by saying, we're going to adopt a policy that says, as a state, we will just give our electoral votes over to whoever wins the popular vote. So this is not going away, even with a Trump victory. So I want you to make sure, it doesn't matter where you live, with early voting beginning, and of course, just less than 3 weeks out now from Election Day, that you are making sure you're voting, your friends and family are voting, and it doesn't matter if you're in a state where it's tough to be a conservative or a state that's dark red and only conservatives are going to win from top down. Your vote matters to the whole national issue that the Democrats are ready to turn on us after Election Day if they suffer a big defeat at the presidential election. So I just wanted to make that note there. We also will have that breaking news. We are looking for confirmation, of course, from Israel that Yahya Sinwar, who was the head of Hamas, he was the head of Hamas after Ismail Haniyeh was taken out by the IDF inside Tehran when he made a brief visit outside his apartment in Doha, Qatar. He was the, quote, political leader of Hamas. But the real on-the-ground leader was Yahya Sinwar, someone who spent over 20 years in prison in Israel for his role in killing Israelis and Israeli civilians. He planned October 7th. And when Ismail Haniyeh was taken out by the IDF, who did Hamas choose to be its new leader? Yahya Sinwar. And it appears now from the images we're seeing and from reporting that all we're waiting on, because the images look exactly like him, it was not a major strike, so body pretty intact, and you can see those images online, so they're waiting to test the DNA. They already have his DNA because he was a prisoner in Israel, so they are just waiting to do that test. I would suspect we get confirmation on whether or not this was Sinwar, and everyone believes it to be at this point, and then what that will mean for Israel in its fight with Hamas, because who comes next in their leadership structure? And would that person be more open to some kind of ceasefire to get the remaining 97 hostages out, 33 of which we believe are no longer alive, but that means over 60 who are alive and maybe up to 4 Americans will. So this is big news as it develops. And of course, once it's confirmed, you really move to that next step of how can this be utilized by Israel and its allies to get those remaining hostages out and continue to dismantle Hamas like they have done with Hezbollah as well.
That's right, Jordan. And I think what is striking here is that Israel has these capabilities. They've been able to systematically go across the region, taking out proxies of Iran, the leadership of these terror organizations, whether it be Hezbollah to the north or Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And what has maybe been the changing factor here is Israel looking ahead to November 5th and realizing that it as far as the polling goes, and if you're an international player and you're looking at who's going to be my ally going forward, the presidential election looks like a coin toss. When they have had so much pushback from President Biden, and they've had to restrain themselves in so many ways, that they are probably concerned about a Harris administration, that their ability to go after these leaders would be greatly diminished if she were to prevail on November 5th. So I think that Israel is taking an opportunity now to go through and wipe out these leaders to hopefully cripple these organizations in the future if there is a less friendly partner, if you want to call it that, in the White House if it ends up being Kamala Harris. But I think what's also interesting about this is that it shows you the skill and precision of the IDF, is that one of the reasons it's taking so long to confirm by them doing the DNA testing is that this wasn't one of these, a bomb hidden in an apartment in Tehran for 2 months and then using intelligence, or going after the specific bunker that they knew that Nasrallah was in the north in Lebanon. This appears to be a patrol by the IDF, a routine patrol in Gaza, where they saw armed terrorists and they engaged a target, and they, by happenstance, by providence, if you will, were able to take out the leader of Hamas. So we will see that confirmation hopefully shortly, but that's also why there wasn't a large intelligence operation, that they already knew that was their target in there. And there's some reporting as well that it was a soldier who noticed and potentially took him out, wasn't even in the IDF on October 7th. He was enlisted after the attack by Hamas. So there's some beautiful poetic justice if that is the soldier, the brave hero of Israel, that was able to lead to the takeout of Sinwar, who has been a thorn in Israel's side for decades.
You know, I think what this shows too is that by Israel starting this multifaceted campaign, really, to take out terrorist leadership in whether it's Hezbollah or whether it is Hamas, and using very unique ways. And you see that some of those strategies started before even October 7th, when we're talking about Hezbollah, when we're talking about, of course, taking out the leader of Hamas in Tehran, when we're talking about Sinwar, who they have been looking for, but worried that they had located his general area, but that he was surrounded by hostages. And it appears, Will, like in this situation, as in others, like Ismail Haniyeh, he believed that maybe because Israel had been focused a little bit more on the northern front than the western front in the Gaza Strip, that he could move around a bit more to stay in command, because there was some question about whether or not he was even being able to effectively command the Hamas militant wing and military wing, which is their terrorist wing, to continue these attacks. So he obviously put his head above water, so to speak, and by doing so, exposed himself to an IDF that was ready to go. And again, we want to get final confirmation, obviously, but when you take out leaders like this, it is very important, and it has changed the narrative about Israel. So many who are still remain hostages, we want them home, but we're going to fight for that at the ACLJ. But let's not forget why Israel is such a great ally, because they know how to kill terrorists. And we need allies like that to help us. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We are, folks, election integrity is going to be a core focus leading up and even after Election Day. Donate today to help our efforts at aclj.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Folks, I am on the road once again, and we have been on the road making sure that everyone out in the country knows that the ACLJ will be there for them. One, if they feel like there's any election integrity concerns that they are experiencing, if they've got questions as early voting begins. We've also been talking in red states and blue states, too. We don't ignore those for two reasons. One, just because it's a blue state or red state doesn't mean there's not tight races inside the state that will determine the balance of power in the U.S. House, in the U.S. Senate, or in state government and local government. And we have seen through battling to make sure that Donald Trump was even allowed on the ballot, in the primary ballot, on the case we took all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and won, representing the Colorado Republican Party, again, you've got to make sure that people have access to vote. And I want to make sure everyone who is a supporter of the ACLJ, everyone watching this broadcast right now, everyone listening to this broadcast right now knows that we are committed to making sure that you feel confident in your vote being counted and you feel confident in the election integrity of our country. Does that mean it's all going to go perfect on election night? No, but do not be discouraged. And surely, let me tell you this, don't believe for a moment that your vote won't matter or that it's somehow not going to get counted. We cannot win if you do not vote. I mean, it's the bottom line. We can't win if we don't show up. And as our good friend of ours, of course, colleague Rick Rennell says, we need to swamp the vote. It is the message I am hearing from leaders across the country, from state to state. They know the significance of getting the votes. And Will, they also are starting to realize, and I want to talk to people about this at 1-800-684-3110, that the left is willing to do anything, including filing lawsuits, which we're going to talk about. They already had to try to, you know, take off Donald Trump, but even right before the election, to challenge who can legally vote or not.
That's right, Jordan. And also, if you want to join in on this conversation, call us at 1-800-684-3110. Tell us what you thought about Kamala Harris's interview last night. If you thought it helped her, if you thought it hurt her, tell us how you thought Bret Baier did interviewing her. There was a lot of criticism that he was going to be the one that was going to be interviewing her by some on the right. But then there was also those on the left that said it's Fox News. He's playing to an audience of one, and that would be Donald Trump. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. But this election integrity issue, Jordan, that you bring up is very important to us. We are going to be talking in the next segment about ways that we are already engaging and looking forward. But I want to point out something, too, that Jordan said about how if you're in a red state and you're voting for conservatives and you think it's a foregone conclusion, there's another reason to be locked in and vote no matter what in this election. And that's because there are many leftists right now trying to subvert the Constitution and go around the way that our elections are decided. There's something called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Jordan and I have talked about it many times. I think it's something that we need to look more at and more people need to know about. But there are states that are pledging that if they get enough states to band together, they're essentially making an interstate compact, that if they get enough that they could reach 270 electoral votes amongst those states, they won't count their state vote tally for who wins their electoral votes. They will only look at the popular vote for the whole country. They will disenfranchise their own voters for the sake of going to a popular vote. And therefore, they would get around the loophole of the Constitution. I think it's very dangerous, but I think that's what you're looking at. So when you say, oh, you know, the Electoral College is all that matters, that's true. But there are even ways that the left is trying to subvert the Constitution, even right now. They already have 209 electoral votes signed on to this. So this is a real threat, and I think we need to look at this as well, Jordan.
Absolutely. And we need your support at the ACLJ. So we're launching, of course, you know, an election integrity effort for these final 19 days and for whatever happens after Election Day. You know, we've been ready to go in the past. We're ready to go now. You go to aclj.org/help if you feel like there's any issues, even with early voting in your state. And we need your support so we can get our lawyers across the country to defend your rights at aclj.org. Donate today. We'll be right back on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secul. This is Jordan Secul. We are taking your phone calls. I want you to call into a 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to take a lot of calls in the next segment, the next two segments of the broadcast, especially to find out for those of you who maybe are in states that have launched early voting. A lot of those states have begun already. One of the first things I'm going to do, likely when I get home after this trip, again, speaking out to activists and voters about how it's so important to make sure we take advantage of every potential vote we can get in this election, regardless of what district you live in, what state you live in. If you live in a red one or a blue one or a purple one, it doesn't matter. We need to get the numbers up and we need to get the voters out. And we need to make sure that this whole idea of, well, I don't know if my vote's going to count. Let us worry about that as the attorneys on leading up to Election Day and following Election Day. What we need you to do first is show up and actually cast a vote. Because if you don't do that, we're not able to then challenge anything that we believe and may have gone wrong and needs to be challenged in court either on Election Day or right after Election Day. Nothing to challenge if you don't actually show up. And you got to show up in big numbers. So we want you to call. We want to hear from you on the show today. What's it like on the ground in your state? 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 1-800-684-3110. The second thing, Will, I want to go to right now, of course, a major case we are about to file in Virginia in federal court. And this case involves illegal immigrants or people in the United States who are not citizens. 6,000 plus in Virginia who self-identified as non-citizens. They may be legally here, but they say, I am not a citizen. So they are not qualified to vote. And the Virginia governor's move to require those people to make sure they're not on the voter rolls has been challenged by Merrick Garland and Harris Biden Department of Justice 19 days before the election. Why do they want 6,000 people on the ballot to be able to vote, to be on the ballot list as a real voter, 6,000 plus voters who have told the Commonwealth of Virginia under a law passed by a Democrat governor in Virginia in 2006 that they are not citizens and thus they cannot vote in the election. Why is the DOJ coming in and trying to save their names to make sure that what, they can go and illegally vote, even though they know they shouldn't? And Will, that is exactly what we've seen happen. And we're about to file. It may be today, later today. It may be tomorrow, but I wanted people to know about that.
That's right. We at the ACLJ are taking action. Our attorneys right now are preparing these briefs that could be filed as soon as today, but within the next day or so at the very latest, because it is such a critical time with just 19 days left to the election. But I have Professor Harry Hutchison in here with me. So, Professor Hutchison, this headline, the DOJ sues Virginia for allegedly purging non-citizens from voting rolls too close to the election, sounds like it could be from a parody website. That doesn't sound like what you would expect out of the Department of Justice trying to enforce law of the United States and protect the integrity of both our elections and our national sovereignty. But that's exactly what's going on here in Virginia with the DOJ suing the state of Virginia.
Absolutely. So what we have, well, is a clear and unmistakable evidence that the DOJ is engaging, in my opinion, in election interference. In other words, they're trying to deprive the state of Virginia of the right to purge non-citizens. If you read the first line of the DOJ's brief, they argue that only U.S. citizens are eligible to vote in U.S. federal elections. That fact is not in dispute. And there is no evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in the United States, but that is not what this case is about. That, in my opinion, is a fabrication. It's precisely about the DOJ's effort to assist non-citizens to vote in Virginia elections. Up to 6,300 non-citizens have self-identified themselves as non-citizens. And yet, what is the DOJ doing? They're filing a lawsuit. They're trying to enjoin or prevent the state of Virginia from enforcing a law signed by a Democratic governor, Tim Kaine, in 2006. So this is ridiculous. It's also a move by the DOJ which arguably violates the United States Constitution. If you look at Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1, the state legislature sets the time, manner, and method of voting with respect to members of the House, members of the House of Representatives, and the Senate. Also, if you look at Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, it talks about voting for the president. Who sets the rules? The state legislature. So the state legislature of Virginia has acted. Governor Youngkin is following the law, and yet the DOJ is intervening.
And Jordan, what we're seeing here is a time for ACLJ to take action as well. I think it's also important, that governor that signed it into law, remember, you may have forgotten, that was Hillary Clinton's running mate. So this is someone who was on a national ticket and probably thought this was a good law to maybe have when he was the governor of Virginia. But the DOJ is taking action here in what reeks of election interference.
So in my hotel room, I threw my glasses on to just look over to the television because I saw there was something new being reported on Sinwar, and that is big news that Israel's foreign minister has said in Israeli media that Sinwar is dead. He is confirming that Sinwar is dead. Now, again, that is being reported out of Israeli Hebrew media. So, and it's not the prime minister yet, but the foreign minister making a comment like that, I cannot imagine would be said with that kind of clarity if it wasn't true. Now, do we want to get that final and full confirmation? Absolutely, 100%. But what we have seen, Will, and I just think for all of you out there who pray for Israel, who support our work that we do in Israel, the ACLJ Jerusalem, it has been a very tough year for Jews around the world, for families like ours with Jewish heritage as well, because of what happened on October 7th. And then the response we saw from the world, of how people cheered on somehow what happened to the Jewish people on October 7th. And what I believe is that the IDF, Will, and the Mossad, and the Shin Bet has once again, over this last year, shown their tremendous capabilities in taking out terrorist leaders very close to their homeland in using very unique ways. And it's why they're such an important ally of the United States, because they are the tip of the spear in the fight on terrorism. So I just wanted to make sure people did get that update from us. And on the issue involving Virginia, listen, we are going to be involved in this. It sounds outrageous. As Harry said, you've got the U.S. Constitution says the states have the power. You've got a Democrat law put into place by Tim Kaine, of all people, in 2006. But the DOJ, so that's Biden, Harris, the DNC, I mean, put it all together, it's 19 days out, is filing a lawsuit trying to prevent Virginia from taking 6,000 people off the ballot who told Virginia voluntarily that they aren't citizens. They might be lawful residents, but they aren't citizens, and so they are not eligible to vote. Do they not think that we see right through it? And this is what makes people nervous about election integrity, about the fact that their vote won't be counted the same way it should, because 6,000 people who shouldn't be voting, the DOJ is fighting somehow for them to remain on the voter rolls. It's so transparent what the left is doing, but I think, like the Harris interview, Will, it is a time of desperation, and that's when we've got to put your pedal to the metal. We've got to go hard these last 19 days, leave no stone unturned, speak to everyone you can, get out the vote, because they are starting to make moves and steps that show they are very nervous about what could happen on Election Day.
And Jordan, I mean, it's almost as if the DOJ created a loophole for illegal voting by saying, hey, you know, if it's within 90 days and someone joins the voter rolls, you can't even look at it. That's the way it plays in my mind as a non-attorney, but it's like creating a loophole for election fraud.
No, absolutely. And it's why you got to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org, because we jump on these cases immediately. So go to aclj.org. You can donate today. We're focusing so much of our efforts in these final 19 days to make sure you're confident in your vote, but also that we've got election integrity nationwide. We're joining in this battle in Virginia. We'll be joining others as well. Donate today at aclj.org. We'll be right back on Seculo.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. For this final segment, I wanted to make sure we could get to those callers who've been waiting to talk to us. I'll be back again tomorrow, joining you live here out of West Virginia right now. But we are traveling the country, making sure, again, election integrity is secured, making sure people are excited and understand why it's important for them to vote, whether they live in a deeply red state, a deeply blue state, because of some of these ideas that the left has, if there is a Trump victory, on how to undermine that victory in the short term and also in the long term with trying to subvert the Electoral College. But Will, with the big news out of Israel, obviously getting more and more confirmations about successful attack, removing, deleting, eliminating the Hamas leader, Yahya Sinwar, who planned the October 7th attacks that killed, it was the deaths of more Jews in a single day since the Holocaust, over 1,000. There are still hostages remaining, and how that will impact that. But I do want to get to the phone calls.
Yeah, let's go to Charles from Alabama. He's been holding on. Thank you for holding on, Charles. You're on the air.
I'm going to say this to everybody that's voting. You vote, I'm not out of emotions. You vote with your heart. You vote with your mind. And you vote for the person that politics that fits what you want. I tell people this because we let race get involved in this thing. My daddy had to have surgery, sir. You know who worked on him? She was an Italian doctor. I didn't give a care whether she was white, black, Italian, straight or gay. Save my daddy. That's what I wanted her to do. When we start involving race into this thing, that's when we lose focus. Donald Trump is the right person for the job. He runs the country like a business. That's why he's so successful. Look at him. He's a billionaire. You think he became a billionaire because he said, I'm Donald Trump? No. He became a billionaire because he was very smart. And he was taught by his daddy. He was taught by the very best. Now,
I think this is exactly right. And I appreciate your phone call and being so direct. You want people to be president or leaders. And I think the surgeon analogy is almost perfect because you want the best that you can get at the time. Who do you have who is best available to run the country? Who do you have that's best available to help your family member out? And at that point, you really, the skin color, the background, none of that really matters. Sometimes if you go to the personal life and you go to, wait, this is someone I see. I looked them up. They're a great doctor. Or this person's been a great leader. And I saw their policies in action. So that's how it impacts me the most. I can decide if I want to engage with them a lot on social media, if I want to follow the news closely after they're elected. But I can also just go back to knowing that someone I trust is in charge. And I don't have to live the day-to-day if I'm not interested in that. Will, I think that the left wants people to think that you have to live that day-to-day if you vote for Donald Trump. And that's just not the case.
Well, and I think we're going to get to more calls here in a moment. But I think what Charles's point was exactly what we said at the beginning of the broadcast, is that Kamala Harris doesn't understand the American people. She doesn't understand who she's talking to because the left is so fixated on identity politics in saying that if you are this group, this demographic group, you have to vote this way. And it hurts their brains to understand that people don't just vote based off of their demographic labels. They vote because of what they think will be best for the country, best for them when it comes to the economy or even their national security. And I think Charles proves that point of why she did so poorly on Fox News last night is because she doesn't understand that. She still thinks about identity politics, and that's the only way to vote in this country is if you fit into this box, you vote for me, and if I can get enough of these boxes coalesce together, I will win, and that's just not it. So let's go ahead and go to Lou from Washington, who's calling on line two. Lou, you're on Seculo.
Hi, thanks for what you do and for the breaking news about Israel. The last caller was right on, and thanks to everyone who's going to go out and encourage and disciple another voter. We really need to disciple them by educating them. And I watched the debate. I thought she did terrible. And I know this is a little off the cuff, but she was so angry and she was so bashing Trump and so vague. And her style was speaking quickly this time with such anger. I wondered if they had her on some sort of drug like it seemed Biden was at times.
Well, Lou,
listen, I think...
go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I think Harris is her own person, but she's obviously got no new policies. She's got a slogan that says she's got new policies. And if she did have any policies that she tried to put forward to the Biden administration when she was vice president, no one thought she was someone they should take seriously because none of those policies got implemented. And I'd say the second point is, listen, we're seeing desperate acts. But I don't want anybody to see the desperation on the left and think that this is somehow over. We're 19 days out. We'll probably have about half the votes in by early voting on election day and states that do vote by mail. But we're also going to have, again, the other half of the vote coming in, and probably a little bit more than that, on election day. And that is why anyone can win right now. 19 days is still a very long time politically. But there's obviously, we should take advantage of each moment. And there's a moment going on right now where it looks like on the left, especially inside the Harris campaign, Walz has been a disaster, an absolute disaster. In fact, it's actually disturbing to me, the language that he uses about people and then the actions that he follows up with. You know, Mr. Knucklehead, self-described, by the way. I didn't call him that. He called himself that. But then wanted to call you weird. I mean, that was bizarre. And then second, you know, he's running with someone who just uses phrases and then gets caught in those phrases. What does she actually believe about Israel? It takes two different answers to CBS. Do we have time, Will, to get to one more call today?
Yeah, we have about 2 minutes left in the broadcast. We're going to go to Demetrio calling from Washington State. Demetrio, you've got just quickly here, but I wanted to get you on the air. You're on Seculo.
Hello, gentlemen, and thank you very much for allowing me to speak. Two things real quick. First, want to say thank you to Brett Baer and Fox News to address and ask a very actual question, very good questions to Kamala. And he did outstanding, I believe, and she was pinpointing fingers, actually, what she was saying again, towards the Trump, but she was doing exactly the same, you know. No policies, nothing solid. So thanks to Brett Baer, it was great. The second point, we received a ballot 4 years ago in previous election for my wife and her sister, who got married 10 years ago and changed their last name, actually 15 years ago. But they still received ballots for their previous last names and for their new last name. So 4 ballots. Yeah, and so imagine if millions of people...
We've only got a minute left, so let's take him down. That's happening across the country. And that is why we're active now and we'll be active in Virginia. So we're filing there, where 6,000 people said we are ineligible to vote because we are not U.S. citizens. The governor trying to remove them from the ballot rolls. And who came in to file the lawsuit? The Biden-Harris DOJ. Well, the ACLJ is fighting back because of your support to the ACLJ. So let me encourage you, if you care about election integrity, you need to support the ACLJ today. You go online and make a donation at aclj.org. You hear how serious we take this issue. It is very serious. It's election integrity in the United States of America. Donate today at aclj.org. We're going to defend it and make sure you have faith in your elections.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.